Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, I mean, obviously it's not something that we wanted or, you know, I hate it for him above all. He's practically won us the last two games. But great opportunity for other guys, and we have plenty to choose from, and we'll be ready.
Mike, is there a shot that he plays in Game 7?
I don't know. You have to ask the – I think he's just, official thing, reevaluate whatever that means. Mm-hmm. So they'll look at it.
Eric Gordon
will start.
How special is it to have be able to bring a guy like that up?
Well, he's a starter, so, I mean, that's what he does. And we've played a lot of games like this.
Mark Berman's tone on his questions always makes me laugh. I love Mark Berman. Hey, how special is that to have an Eric Gordon right there, huh? You like that Eric Gordon guy, don't you? Tuesday, listen to Mad Radio with Mike Meltzer, Seth Payne, and that guy, Paul Gallant.
What's up?
Fred Davis, John Lopez, and Landry Locker in the loop. That was Mike D'Antoni talking about the Chris Paul injury made official today. He will not play in Game 6. He is going to travel with the team, which brings us to a topic we can dissect here in a minute, but we heard Mike D'Antoni mention Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon will replace Chris Paul in the starting lineup. Here's Eric Gordon and his thoughts on CP3.
Well, it's definitely tough, you know, big-time playmaker, you know, alpine type players. It's definitely tough to recover that, but we're going to be ready to play, and we're going to be, you know, we're going to play full force, great sense of urgency on both sides of the ball.
You play, right?
Huh?
It doesn't change the way you attack?
No, not at all. I'm going to continue to attack, take what the defense gives me, and, you know, I'm looking forward to trying to get this win tomorrow.
My feeling, a lot of people were coming at me on Twitter last night, Paul, like, okay, what do the Rockets do now? What's this rotation going to look like? Because it's not just that you're losing Chris Paul. It's that you were down to seven guys that Mike D'Antoni trusted before you lost Chris Paul. It creates an issue that, quite frankly, losing any of your starters or these seven guys, really six, you know, like Gerald Green is a nice seventh piece, but the six guys that make up the starting lineup plus Eric Gordon, that's the core of this team. My feeling is Eric Gordon now gets bumped up to where he's basically Chris Paul. Like, Mike D'Antoni has to say to himself, there will never be a minute in this game when James Harden or Eric Gordon are both on the bench. That's never going to happen in this game. One of those two is going to be in at all times, because the backup point guard on this team is whichever guy of Paul and Harden isn't on the floor at that time. Like, that, those are your two point guards. So Eric Gordon gets bumped up to the Chris Paul role, and then it gets complicated. You know, Chris Paul leaves a 40-minute space there that you have to fill, thinking not only about quality of player, but style, flow of the game. How's this game going? What is it that we need? My feeling is that it's going to be filled by a small village. You know what I mean? Like, nobody, it's not going to be where all of a sudden Luka Mbamute is back into playing 35 minutes or something like that. I do feel like he is now going
to
be...
He has to play, though.
He's at least an experimental part of the mix, right? You go and you see how that shoulder is.
I experiment a lot. I think I would experiment a lot in Game 6, because I think you also have to think about resting these guys for the idea of a Game 7, and you're probably going to have a pretty good feel for what happens in this game. If there's no Chris Paul and if James Harden's continuing his struggles, you might know pretty early whether or not this one's going to actually work out for you. So this might be the game that you throw out Ryan Anderson for extended minutes, too, even though he did look like a guy at the YMCA who's very unconfident with the basketball in his hands. I just remember this one vivid moment where I think it was either Harden or Paul who gave him the ball.
Two seconds later, he
gave it right back. Yeah. And I think that's the only touch that he's had in this series. Bamute can't make a layup. You got to throw them out there, and you got to hope that they will actually do something for you, because a game where James Harden and Eric Gordon are the only two that are going to be handling the ball, that means more stress on James Harden, and that means more stress on Eric Gordon, and you need the two of them to be great on both ends of the court. Maybe not great with Harden, but Gordon, I mean, he had some big stops towards the end of this game.
I think Gordon's a good player. Like, I think Gordon can do a lot of the things that you need a backup point guard to do for you. He does it a little less elegantly. He's kind of a bull in a china shop, but I think he's a smart player. I think he's a really good scorer. He's been around the league a long, long time. He was a high draft pick many years ago. He's a talented basketball player. The things that you lose when, and by the way, just to get back to rotations real quick, I think he also tried to steal a few minutes when West is when David West is on the floor, maybe throw Nene out there for a few minutes
definitely.
And hide him on West for like 5 minutes.
I mean, if I'm Golden State, I don't play David West because of that. I want to make sure that they're still running and running as much as they have
but
to.
But if they, you know, Steve Kerr's been a little weird with his substitution patterns. If he does throw West out there for a little bit.
More concerned with the NFL, yeah.
Nene, get in there. Yeah, he's all worried about the anthem protests. What I was going to say about Eric Gordon is he brings, I'm not going to say he brings a lot of what Chris Paul brings. They're very different players. But I think they're going to be fine with Eric Gordon in there. Here's what you lose with Chris Paul is the biggest thing you lose is the bailout at the end of these possessions that they have. They've been playing a lot of offense in this series where they're not initiating it until there's about 10 seconds left on the shot clock.
It's infuriating, but I'm starting to get it because they need all the energy they can get defensively.
They do, and it reduces the chances of turnovers when you're playing iso ball. What you lose with Chris Paul are things like those three-pointers he hit last night, that bowling pass that he threw to Trevor Ariza across the court in Game 4 to get one of the most important three-pointers of the night, the ability to slice into the teeth of a defense and dribble around the lane for what feels like an eternity and somehow wind up with an open 8-foot jumper. There's nobody else on this team that can replicate some of those things, other than James Harden can do some of the crazy stuff. But that's what you lose with Chris Paul is you lose those three or four possessions a game where the only reason you're getting a basket is because you have Chris Paul on your team. It's like the Warriors with Kevin Durant get about 10 baskets a game like that because the only reason you're getting that is because nobody can defend that guy. And Chris Paul has a little bit of that element, not just the superhuman element that Durant has, but he's a great basketball player and he's a heady basketball player. And they're going to miss that. They're going to miss his leadership, although you don't like this, and I do like this. I do like that he's traveling with the team. You don't like that he's traveling
yeah,
with the
10
team.
Yeah, that's 10 hours of therapy to me that you're totally throwing in the trash. I mean,
how do you come up with 10?
Because it's probably 3.5 hours to fly up to San Francisco, 3.5 hours to fly back. He's going to be sitting on a bench for 3 hours. I think that's a waste of his time. I understand that.
What would he be like on a Bowflex machine or something that whole time?
Well, I mean, you got to strengthen your quads to get your hamstring back up. It's not just stretching, and I feel like that he has to be 100% dedicated to getting back on the court because I don't think they're going to win without him. I don't. I think that they have to do everything in their their power to get him back out there. Yeah, it would be nice to have Chris Paul on the bench for big time situations, crunch time situations at the very end of a game, but I mean, he's got to be there in Game 7. If he's not, I have a really tough time seeing the Rockets winning that game without him.
I'll be honest with you, and I've seen it kind of hypothesized both ways. I saw Dale Robertson say this on Twitter a little bit earlier from the Chronicle. He said, well, CP3's traveling with the team. Maybe the hamstring's not as bad as we think it is. My counter to that is maybe they realize he ain't playing in Game 7 either.
If he's not playing in Game 7 either, then 100% yes, he has
because
to
Because I do think
there.
There's yes. an element that he brings to the bench, having him on the bench, if for nothing else to be James Harden's personal mental therapist through that game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just to be a guy who can get in James's face or get in James's ear. You know, he doesn't have to be combative. I'm painting this picture
well,
where he's going to be like...
There was a moment last night where James Harden is just standing there and Chris Paul is coming up to him. He's like, what's up? What's
let's
up?
Let's go. Let's
yo,
go.
Yo, hey,
there
hi.
There was a moment in the game where the coaches were off doing their thing at the beginning of a timeout. And Chris Paul's not even sitting down. He's standing there in the huddle, like slapping his hands like a coach, like saying, you need to do this and you need to do that. Some people may say it's false hustle, whatever. Chris Paul's been around long enough. And he's a cerebral enough player where
it's not the Clippers either. It's not like everyone's tuning him out because they're sick of him.
Yeah, no, I think they legitimately like what Chris Paul brings to this team.
A couple years down the road, maybe it's different. But right now, yes, I don't think that they've gotten to that point, especially when they're in the Western Conference
so
Finals.
I think there are basketball reasons to have him on this trip, too, if you want to know the truth. I think it's good to have him on the trip. I think the trainers know what they're doing. I think they're going to have things he can be doing on the plane to help affect the hamstring or whatever. And it may very well be that they've looked at it and said, he's probably not going to play in Game 7 either.
Ugh.
Now, the thing is, you hope that there's a game one of the NBA Finals, too, to be thinking about ahead. I don't want to get too wrapped up and engrossed in like, well, that's it for Chris Paul if he can't play these two games. They can still win one of these two games.
You are, though, expecting something that we have not seen from James Harden
yes.
before
well, we
in
saw
these
it in
playoffs
game,
recently.
We saw it. If you're talking about shooting and scoring, we saw it in game one of this
right.
series.
And then it's been gone ever since. Yeah. And I just think that the big rest between the second round series, which is where Harden has typically gotten that far,
yeah.
although he has a couple of first round exits too. Like, this is only the second time that he's been to a conference finals. And you have to wonder, what is his feeling right now, no matter how much he's worked this offseason, if he's in better shape or anything like that? You're in now game six.
he's never been this far into the playoffs before. I mean, think about the last time they got to the
Thunder. You're saying as a core member of the Rockets.
As a guy who's like the main focal point. Because when you're coming off of the bench, it's something different. As a focal point, it's been a really long time since he has been this deep. And this is the first time he's been this deep when there's all this responsibility put on his shoulders. And I'm not saying he can't play well. I'm just saying I haven't seen it, and I'm not expecting it because he's been so shaky shooting from outside.
Scale of 1 to 10. 1 being I don't trust this guy at all. 10 being I trust this guy with my life. What's your trust factor that James Harden can dial up a game like that in game 6 or 7?
2.5.
What do you think the trust level is of the city that he can dial it up?
I think it's a little higher than me, but I think it's like 4.5.
Yeah, I would agree. I was going to say probably about a 4 because I don't think it's high. I'm with you from that standpoint of like these are the moments when it's been just James Harden you've had to rely on. Like there's a reason they went and traded for Chris Paul. So we can't all of a sudden with Paul out go, well, this is going to be fine. James is the MVP and James will be okay. No, you went balls to the wall to get Chris Paul this offseason so you could avoid this exact scenario.
And he's also the most criticized star in this city, and it's not even close. Like the J.J. Watt, and like no one's going after him, even if he is corny from time to time, especially with what he has done for both the Santa Fe High School kids. Yeah. And on top of that, what he did with Hurricane Harvey, Jose Altuve, who could ever hate on him, especially when he's so lovable in those 5-hour energy commercials that I don't know happen anymore. Also, 5-hour energy, pretty sweet, right? Huh?
It's good stuff.
Here it's good stuff. Look, he has a lot of pressure on his shoulders. He always seems like he doesn't care about any of it, but this is the time to prove that he doesn't care about it. And apparently he was talking with Chris Paul after the game. Hey, we were just talking about life. There was a little bit of headline porn, by the way, on ESPN earlier today.
Yeah, actually, before you talk about that, B-Mac, can you get Harden number 3 ready? And since we're on remote, tell me out loud in my ear that you have it and that you're searching it right now and that you're not, you know, like, okay, thank you. Yeah, let me know when you have it. Harden 3, because this is going to be the exchange you're about to talk about is what we're going to listen to. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
The ESPN headline read, Harden on 3-point shooting woes. Who cares? You read that and you don't click on the link, and that's what all online media is today. No offense to everyone out there. Yeah. It's all an extended tease, much like sometimes in radio we do teases. You see that, and you're like, oh, this guy doesn't get it. I hate this guy. This guy taking my job, blah, 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 blah. And then you actually
hear. If I did that in the real world.
This guy don't care. He don't have no heart.
What do you do, Harry? I work down at the mill, and if I did that in the real world, you know what would happen to me? I'd be fired.
I grew up in the Northeast, and I look at this guy. He couldn't survive a day on the street. And the headline reads that way, and then you hear him talk, and it's such a different tone.
Here's the exchange with James Harden and ESPN's Tim McMahon about James Harden's shot not falling.
James, obviously, you're not shooting the 3-ball the way you usually do. Is there anything...
I'm not.
Slightly. I'm being kind. Anything you feel...
Who cares? Nah.
Nothing mechanical or anything?
Nothing. I'm just missing shots. But we're winning, you know, and I'm trying to compete on the defensive end and do other things to, you know, help my team win. But if we got a guy like Eric Gordon making shots, you know, and being aggressive, you know, who cares?
It's so much different than the headline. Yep. And it takes me off that is the stuff that we have to deal with James Harden because, look, he deserves criticism a lot. He has not been the catatonic quitting mess that he was in Game 6 against the San Antonio Spurs last year. Definitely not. But he does look gassed. I mean, I remember a moment in the second quarter where he's going to the free throw line and he's got his hands on his legs and they had a zoom-in shot of him. I was like, damn, that's not a good sign if that's already happening in the second quarter. But, I mean, this is a big opportunity for him. A text said on the DWIattorney.com text line, this is Harden's opportunity to shut the critics up if he goes into Oracle and they win, led by him. People like Paul will have to come on the radio and eat Major Crow. And yeah, damn right I will. I mean, shoot, I'm shaving my head probably.
Yep.
If they end up winning this thing, it's a big opportunity for him. He's just got to somehow find a way to get that energy that has seemed to be lacking. And I don't know if that means shooting less before games, shooting less after games, but whatever it is, the dude needs all the rest he can get going into tomorrow night's game.
I can't think of an MVP in the last 22 years. There's a reason I bring up 23 years that people have been more expecting him to shrink in this moment that's coming up for him. And, man, I'm rooting for him because I think James Harden is a good guy. I think he's a good teammate. I think he's done everything right this year. I think he's become a better defensive player. But, yeah, the facts are the facts, and he's not had this slew of great games that you expect from an MVP. I feel like he's the first MVP since David Robinson going up against Hakeem Olajuwon, and I need to go back and look at the list, but where a big moment has arrived for him in the postseason, and you're just waiting for him to fail. You know, you're waiting.
Yeah.
You don't expect what you see LeBron doing of just carrying this bunch of schlubs on his back. And I'm not saying the Rockets are a bunch of schlubs. They're not. But LeBron's carrying this team. You expect in these situations LeBron to go like 40, 10, and 12. You know what I mean? And other MVP, Kobe, and other MVP players over the last several years. And Harden is, this is his first MVP, but it's not his first run in the mix as an MVP candidate. And I feel like people are expecting the opposite right now.
You know, and I feel bad for him, too, because he's going to win this MVP, and whatever happens in this series, because of the stupid NBA having this award show so awkwardly where Dwayne Casey's probably going to win Coach of the Year, yeah. And he's canned, and Harden's going to win MVP, and he might have a bad playoff series against the Golden State Warriors, and people are going to look at it differently like it doesn't matter.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.